Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. The president is launching this week, continuing his series of executive actions with an order today directing the Food and Drug Administration to resolve the growing problem of critical drug shortages. These are 178 drugs that have been in short supply and are often used to treat cancer and in emergency rooms. And the latest action is in the president's We Can't Wait campaign. His agenda stalled in Congress. He's making these executive actions instead. Congress, meanwhile, back in Washington this week with a big to-do list of its own, including a possible subpoena to get more documents from the White House on that loan made to the failed energy firm Solyndra. And, of course, the deadline is nearing for that super committee charged with reducing the federal deficit by at least $1.2 trillion. Gail Chadwick, congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, help us set the table for the week ahead, Gail, by starting with what you're seeing, new divisions within the GOP over tax increases. Now, most Republicans have signed Grover Norquist's no tax pledge. So what are you seeing happening?
Well, this is something I've been watching closely for about 6 months now, and what started out as a little trickle, I think, is getting more pronounced. Now, that pledge, signed, I think, by all but about six or seven House members, and all of the members on the super committee, commits people to not raising tax rates. Everyone agrees to that, but also to not cutting any tax breaks, called tax expenditures, unless it nets to zero. So you have to find compensating tax cuts elsewhere if you're going to cut a tax break. Well, I'm seeing an increased number of people, including someone like Paul Ryan, head of the House Budget Committee, who simply says he's not going to answer questions about that anymore. I'm not going to play this game, he said. If you can get higher revenues from cutting a lot of tax breaks, but maybe not netting to zero, why not do it?
Well, this is way out of character. And there's others. You quote Representative Joe Flake of Arizona, who says he's open to abolishing some tax deductions like the one for ethanol producers. And then there was Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma. Talking to David Gregory on NBC's Meet the Press, he said, Grover, Norquist, you're stupid. Forget it. We're going to vote the right way. Which pledge is most important, the one to uphold your oath to the Constitution or a pledge from a special interest group which aims to claim to speak for all American conservatives? Wow.
No, this is very big. Now, Grover and Tom Coburn have been feuding now for months. Coburn, who is no one questions his conservative credentials, he started out with an attack on ethanol, a really bad tax expenditure. He said, everyone agrees we ought to get rid of it. We mandate that ethanol should be used. Why do we need to subsidize it in addition to that? And he got a majority of Republicans to support that on the floor of the House, the first conspicuous break with this pledge line, but you're going to see more of it. There are other prominent conservative groups that won't let me quote them by name, but they're on the verge of, in effect, saying there is such a thing as a growth-promoting tax increase, if by that you mean cutting a tax break that does no good.
Well, how far do you think this will go? We mentioned the super committee. They're planning a public hearing tomorrow, but all six Republicans sitting on the committee have signed the no tax pledge, and yet they have this deadline of November 23rd. So will some of this thinking trickle to them?
All you need is one. All you need is one Republican on that panel to vote with Democrats. And you have represented on that panel at least one member who voted with Tom Coburn on the ethanol bill. So I think this, if you can demonstrate that it will produce growth, both sides agree that revenue enhancements are good. It's a matter of getting the big gun private conservative groups back of this as well.
Well, Gail Chadwick, as we mentioned, Congress back in full force. Some things scheduled for this week include a panel from the House Energy and Commerce Committee. They're going to meet on Thursday to vote on authorizing this White House subpoena to get more documents regarding Solyndra. The White House saying they've already given thousands of documents. But also, as we mentioned, the president has promised to have one of these new executive actions every week for the rest of the year. Today he's going to sick the FDA, as we said, on these drug shortages. We've reported on this. We'll link to it. Herenow.org. But what are you hearing from returning Congress members about these executive actions?
They see them as really a marginal thing, a little bit like President Clinton's midnight basketball. a symbolic gesture, but nothing, you know, if it doesn't create jobs, it's not really going to make a dent in 2012, is what I'm hearing from Republicans. They want to fight this out on jobs, and here you're seeing as strong an ideological divide as I've ever seen in a presidential race. I mean, you'd have to go back to Reagan for something this powerful, which is Republicans just hammering on regulation. The private sector has a lot of money. It's not investing. Why? Because they feel that regulation is creating too much uncertainty and is too burdensome. Solution, get rid of it. And the president, we need to support the public sector. We need to support public sector jobs, public sector infrastructure. That's the next piece you're going to see on the jobs bill, an infrastructure bank.
Okay. We'll keep an eye open for that. Gail Chadha, congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Thanks as always.